helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. Albert Einstein once said that repeating the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, is the definition of insanity. Based on that, it seems many in our governments are certifiably insane. More evidence of election interference has come to light, and it's not what you're being told in corporate media. Once again, we see disruptive demonstrations in the news with the apparent attempt to further disrupt the U.S. economy. Property rights are being held in pawn to political agendas, and failed government agendas are being propped up by the American taxpayer. Yet, in the face of all this, many in our political class are doubling down, doing exactly the same thing over and over again, claiming this time it will be different. But who is the insane one? The person acting crazy, or the person who follows them? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. Teach the rising generation, be free. I'm glad you could join me today as we look at, repeating some of our mistakes. Now, many of these mistakes, they get laid directly at the feet of a lot in our political class, and that is appropriate. But that's not the only place. See, there's a saying I use all the time. I do this when I speak all the time. I'll say, I'll ask people, how can you tell when a politician is lying? The answer is almost always some variation of their lips are moving. Yet the American people keep hiring. Or as I like to say, what does that say about the American people? That we not only knowingly hire liars, cheats, and thieves, but the ones that do it the best keep around the longest. See, the mistakes are being repeated not simply because of a corrupt political class. We have a corrupt political class, don't get me wrong. But that corrupt political class is kept in office in large part because the American people keep putting them there. See, it's us hiring these same people the same way over and over, expecting this time it will be different, that I think is the true insanity in this country. For example, we were all told that the 2020 presidential election was the most secure election in American history. Of course, the evidence proves otherwise. Again, malfeasance in multiple states. You had executive and judicial branches changing how the state chose their presidential electors in violation of the Constitution. You have at least questionable, if not outright criminal, activity during the voting and the counting. And we're supposed to believe somehow it's magically going to be different today. Now, I know a lot of people kept looking for the federal government to fix it, but that's the problem. It's not the federal government's job. It's your state job. And that's actually a good thing. But Paul, doesn't that mean that states will have problems. You're not going to get another state's not going to act the way you want because you're not a citizen there. But it also means you have greater influence over the people that are making these rules, and you can inform them of the issues and hold them accountable if they don't. So if the election in November turns out to be as corrupt as I expect it to be, the fault won't be the governors or the legislatures or even the state election boards. It'd be the fact that the people didn't bother to do anything. They saw the problem. Many of them acknowledged the problem. They just simply refused to do anything about the problem. And we're seeing problems grow. I saw an interesting twist. This is actually a combination of a couple of problems, because there's a big problem with the southern border. Polls repeatedly show that the southern border is not only a problem, it's of great concern to the American people. Yet more and more we see government actors trying to suppress the issue there and put other things in place of it. The whole nonsense with the Ukraine funding and the attempts by the Republicans to tie Ukraine funding to also getting funding to work on the border, that was opposed verbally and quite vociferously by the Biden administration and many of the members and many of the Democratic Party in Congress. But when I saw this one, well, this one maybe helps make a little bit more sense. See, apparently, there's a sign that was discovered, a flyer that is in a, I guess it's a service center, right? It's a, some NGO has a resource center in Matamoros, Mexico. It's in the state of Tamaulipas. Think I got that right. In this, there's a flyer that says, "Reminder to vote for President Biden when you're in the United States. We need another 4 years of his term to stay open." Now, I'm not saying that the president's campaign is doing this, not directly. But I also remember that the governor, the president's campaign, their administration, I'm sorry, was really helping to work with NGOs to get out the vote. Is this really what they meant? I mean, think about it this way. You're first of all, this NGO is suborning a crime. It is a crime for someone in it's a crime for someone who is not legally in the US to vote in our elections. And in most cases, it's actually a crime for a non-citizen to vote in our elections. And this for very good reason. I know a lot of people don't like that, but there's a re you know, if you're going to be an American, if you're going to have a say in American politics, you need to be under the, as the 14th Amendment, the jurisdiction of the United States, meaning you're a citizen. But this suborns crime. Not only that, it's picking a side. Now, an NGO has a right to have an opinion about who would be a better president. But this really, I mean, this is a level of meddling. Imagine how would Mexico feel if, say, some American organization went in and said, "Vote for this person for your president." I don't think they'd be very happy. Now, again, I have no proof that the administration or the Biden campaign or anybody in the Democratic Party had anything to do with this particular flyer. Does bring out an interesting question, though. Why has the Biden administration done all it could to import more people into this country illegally? Could it be that they're hoping, whether they're reminded to by this NGO or not, that they'll come and they'll vote for Biden because, well, it was under Biden that they got in. It was under Biden that basically ignored the laws and pushed through these this agenda, these policies that violated federal law, violated the Constitution, and simply imported people into this country illegally. I mean, it's not as if President Biden issued an executive order to direct all of the federal agencies to get involved in state and local election administration, to use your U.S. taxpayer dollars to manipulate voter registration and get out the vote activities in the states. Except he did. EO 14019 directs federal agencies to get involved, to find the opportunity to register voters, to obtain information about and participate in the electoral process. These are state electoral processes, ladies and gentlemen. There is only one federal election. That's when the presidential electors vote in December. This is the president of the United States using his position to meddle in elections. And in that light, would you be really be surprised to find out that maybe one of those agencies reached out and communicate with an NGO that would put out flyers to remind people who are coming into this country illegally to vote? Could it be? More importantly, maybe, would it even surprise you if they did? Well, the Secretary of State of Mississippi, Michael Watson, he's looking to push back. Finally, somebody is talking about pushing back. Now, apparently, there have been requests from the Department of Justice to get information, documentation about this executive order's implementation. They even went so far. There was a federal court ordered the DOJ to release certain records. When they did, they were, well, we'll call them heavily redacted. Now, Mr. Watson published an op-ed the other day, about a week or so ago, and he detailed an exchange he had in the White House where the administration admitted that they never intended for the agency's plans to become public. Now, think of it this way. Watson is now one of 16 secretaries of state that signed on to a letter to the Biden administration urging him to rescind EO 14019. Now, what's interesting is that in this letter Mr. Biden, they point out the Constitution clearly states that the state legislatures, prescribe the way elections are run. And if any adjustments need to be made, those adjustments are the province of Congress, not the executive branch, right? So, the Constitution says that the states set the times, places, and manner of choosing, of holding elections for senators and representatives. And that Congress can alter or make or alter such rules. It says nothing about the executive branch. Therefore, according to the letter, Executive Order 14019 is issued without constitutional authority or congressional approval. Executive Order 14019 calls for federal agencies to develop plans that duplicate voter registration efforts conducted at the state level and ignores codified procedures and programs in our state constitutions and laws. Involving federal agencies in the registration process will produce duplicate registrations, confuse citizens, and complicate the job of our county clerks and election officials. If implemented, the executive order would also erode the responsibility and duties of the state legislatures to their situational duty within the election clause. Well, there's one, so far, so good. There's just one problem. If this EO is unconstitutional, that means the states have no legal need to follow it. It is void. Ignore it. In fact, the problem is the executive agencies are coming into these states and doing this, at which point the state, Secretary of State, and the legal authorities of the state should arrest them. I'm assuming it's a crime to interfere in the process of registering and holding elections. Then why not arrest them? Because they're committing a crime within the state. They're denying the state its authority, its right under the Constitution to establish the time, places, and manners of holding elections for senators and representatives. This is an unconstitutional act. And anyone who does this, I'm not sure it would actually be a 242 issue. I'd have to be a little closer, but it would be a stretch. But I certainly would see state agencies arresting people for providing false registration. I mean, let's face it. If I started putting out false registration drives where I was not following state law and doing it, well, then I'd be arrested. Why not members of the executive? Well, but Paul, I don't care if they're members of the federal government. That doesn't give them immunity, contrary to what many judges say. If they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law. This letter may be a start, but there are no teeth. In fact, I think you know what I'm going to do, because the Secretary of State of Tennessee, Trey Haggart, he has signed on to this. I think I'm going to send him a copy of this letter and ask him what teeth he plans to put behind this request. This really shouldn't be, we ask. It's like, you've violated the law. Rescind your order or we will hold you accountable. Now, maybe I'm not a lawyer. Maybe it's a little more politic. First you ask, you know, then you show. Maybe that's the case, but I certainly want to reach out and find out, because to allow this illegal action to continue, is that, you know, are we ever going to learn our lessons? Are we ever going to learn that, you know, letting the federal government break the law involving elections really has a bad consequence? It certainly doesn't seem to be. And as long as these criminal activities never have any consequence, there's no reason for the criminals to stop doing them. And we, the American people, are the one that always pay the price. And we need to stop that. We stop that by standing up and doing something. When you see something is wrong, when you see evil, it's time to step up and do something. All it takes for evil to flourish is for good men to do nothing. It's time we stand up. One person, by the way, that's standing up for their against evil done to them is General Flynn. He's got a new movie out called Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Now, like Mr. Flynn or hate him, like General Flynn or not, you really should watch the movie, if for nothing else, to see his side of the story. Now, if you go to constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie, FLYNNMOVIE, you can find out more about the movie, watch the trailer, get tickets for, so I think he's still got live events going on. You can even pre-order the DVD, but I recommend see the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, and do it. You can by checking out the General Flynn's movie. Again, that's Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. You can find it at constitutionstudy.com/Flynn movie. Please use that link. It lets Mr. General Flynn and others know that you listen to the Constitution Study, which helps us overall as well. Now, I have to take a break. Before I do, though, you know, sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'm wiped. I can't focus. That's when I reach for Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. It boosts my long-term focus and my long-term brain power without sugar and caffeine and all of that, just using vitamins. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell. Just use the checkout code OUTLOUD for that discount. Find out more at AmericaOutLoud.shop. But again, check out Focus and Recall. Check out all the great products from Healthy Cell. Be sure to use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud. 58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. And today we're looking at the mistakes we keep repeating over and over and over again. You probably heard about the last week's protest shutdowns. They were on the Golden Gate Bridge. They were at Chicago O'Hare Airport. And they're also at Seattle SeaTac Airport. They were on, I believe, on the Brooklyn Bridge. Well, there's some interesting information about these demonstrations that we should be aware of. See, apparently, it's part of this little-known group called A15 Action, and they launched what they describe as an economic blockade. They want to identify and blockade major choke points in the economy, focusing on points of production and circulation with the aim of causing the most economic impact in order to disrupt and blockade economic logistic hubs and the flow of capital. Now, here's what's interesting, because many of these claim to be, these actually claim to be done in support of the Palestinian movement. Let's say you support the Palestinian movement. Okay, you have a right to your own opinion. And you even have the right to demonstrate. But why are you blocking access to airports and economic choke points? How does that help the Palestinian people? Is it just supposed to piss off Americans so that we'll stop supporting Israel? Or, as this article I saw out of the Federalist states, Are they actually trying to create an economic blockade? Are they focusing on areas to harm the economy, to disrupt our kind of, kind of like they did with COVID-19 and the shutdowns and the logistics issues we had, the supply chains? Now, apparently there's actually evidence that this group is not so much a Palestinian movement, but probably more anarchist or Antifa-based. The network site actually has a link to a bail fund, so that if you get arrested during demonstrations, they will bail you out. Not that different from the Black Lives Matter protests and riots back in 2020. And there's also reports that they're getting a lot of their funding from the Tide Center, which, if you follow that type of thing, it's a Marxist socialist organization with a fair amount of money, meaning it wouldn't be a surprise if we see more disruptive actions in the future. But here's the question. We've seen this before. We've seen the Antifa riots, the Antifa demonstrations, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations, some of which turned into actual riots with vandalism and physical harm. Are we going to sit back and let this happen again? Are the people we hire to enforce the law actually going to enforce the law? Or are they once again going to sit back and say, well, we'll just let them blow off steam and not actually enforce the law, because that might just make things worse? Although the evidence really is, it's when you let the spoiled brat child run amok is when they get worse, not when you discipline them. Now, there are a couple things I want to bring to light, I want you to be aware of. First of all, even though these look like they're going on all over the country, there's actually relatively few of them. I think there's only about half a dozen of these demonstrations across the country. But they get so much focus from the media, they seem to have a much larger impact than they actually do, which is something, a lesson we need to learn. In the media, in corporate media, there's a saying, if it bleeds, it leads. The idea is it's sensationalizing. So Some of these demonstrations are probably going to be sensationalized if they already haven't. They're going to be looked upon as if they're much broader than they actually are, because that's what the media does. The media is, remember, the media is not there to inform you. The media is there to turn you into a commodity. They get advertising dollars based on viewers. They get viewers based on hype. And hype leads to more viewers, it leads to more money, which is exactly what these corporate media groups generally want. Yes, they have their own political agenda, and that also shades part of what they're doing. But this is not about giving so much information. It's about selling ads. The other thing is, based on what I've seen so far, these acts are not about demonstrating for the Palestinian people. It's not about persuading people of the rightness of their cause or convincing them that maybe Israel should do something different. No, because they're not going after places where that would support the Palestinian movement. This looks like nothing more than an attempt to, as was stated, help cripple the economy. They figure if they put, I think it was Marx who said that the reason capitalism is such a threat to communism is when people, the middle class and the poor and capitalism are comfortable. I'd have to go back and research to find the details. But the idea is, hey, the middle class is comfortable. They're not going to promote the revolution. So we need to make them uncomfortable. Well, we've shown them that one of the best ways to make them uncomfortable is to keep them from their goodies, to keep them from getting to work, to keep the goods and services they depend on from getting to them. Which kind of makes sense when you start looking at the economic impact of these types of demonstrations. But I also think we need to look at this as this is happening in our own backyards. We need to deal with this locally as well. For example, Florida passed a law. It's called Combating Violence, Disorder, and Looting and Law Enforcement Protection Act. Another mouthful. And under that law, protesters in Florida were quickly cleared and arrested. And guess what? Local residents applauded. So, okay, maybe it's a good idea in your state to have a law that criminalizes disrupting the public motorways and byways. In other words, you're free to demonstrate, but you cannot impede other people from their lives. You cannot take away their liberty to go about their lives simply because you want to protest. Now, is your state looking at something like this? Oh, by the way, when the police show up to clear and arrest these illegal demonstrators, are you there applauding? I mean, just imagine, you think back to Black Lives Matters and Antifa riots and demonstrations, and the police show up and they're booed. Wouldn't it be nice if people showed up and cheered when they were doing their job? Now, I know there are other states are looking at legislation. I think Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, different variations, but the idea is to not allow illegal roadblocks or similar tactics. Let's do that locally. Because a lot of people are waiting for the federal government to do something. In fact, Marsha Blackburn, senator from Tennessee, and Tom Tillis, senator from North Carolina, they've proposed a federal law that would make a federal crime to purposely obstruct, delay, or affect commerce by blocking a public road or highway. There's just one problem. That law would be unconstitutional because it would only be the Congress could only do that if it impacted interstate commerce. So if you wanted to block the highways at a state border, Congress can get involved. This one, they can't. Doesn't surprise you. Nobody realizes that because, again, we don't know the Constitution. We are generally ignorant about the Constitution, especially those people that are most responsible for following it, politicians, judges, lawyers, yeah, they are the most ignorant about the Constitution as a whole. But again, let's learn from 2020 and not, you know, let's have laws that make sure that you are free to go about your business without being interfered, without being obstructed by demonstrators. But let's also make sure that not only our law enforcement, but the political officials above them, the political actors, that they are aware you will not tolerate them allowing this activity to destroy their rights. So again, you have a right to be at liberty. And when people, you know, when people trespass on your property, they're violating your property rights. When the government actors fail to apply the law, they are complicit. They are accessories after the fact. So let's not allow, let's let them know we won't stand for it. If either you protect our rights or we will find someone who will. I know individuals can't do something, but we can think about it. What you can do is you can spread that information. Most people I've encountered haven't really thought of it that way. They haven't thought about the invasion of your rights. You know, when government allows people to criminally invade your property, that the state is denying you the protection of your rights. We've seen this a lot in stories on New York City, especially New York City, with the squatters and the laws that New York City has put in place that basically allow squatters to remain illegally on private property for months, if not years, going through a ridiculous process that basically says, yeah, we know you own the property, but you have to prove to us that even in front of evidence, we have to go through this whole hoop to get these squatters removed. Now, the state of Tennessee is looking at some legislation that may make life easier. Recently, our General Assembly passed legislation. It's gone to the Senate that would allow homeowners, property owners, to have a process to remove squatters within, I believe, 72 hours. So there would be a process that says, listen, if you have property and you have proof that it's your property and the people staying there don't have proof that it's their property, they can be removed for trespass. Right? It's designed to get to... I haven't read all the details. I want to look at it. I just saw an article about it. But the idea is, let's also protect rights. Protect the rights of the property owner from dishonest trespassers, rather than what New York City seems to be doing, and that is protecting the trespassers from the legitimate property owners. And again, we've seen this in New York City and probably other cities as well. Are we going to learn our lesson? Here's another lesson I want to learn. You know, I have a personal animosity towards Bank of America. I've had some very bad interactions with them in the past. Right? So I refuse to do business with Bank of America. And I just found what may be another reason why I will never do business with Bank of America. See, right now, BOA is facing allegations that they have been debanking people and organizations for political, religious, and ideological reasons. Now, first, we had the reports that Bank of America was turning over financial records to the FBI and to the Department of Treasury while they were investigating people, you know, January 6th suspects. In other words, if you were in the Capitol, in D.C. during that time, your financial transactions with the BOA, they were simply turning the records over. No warrants, no probable cause, just, hey, here's all the people that were there. And now we have reports of them debanking organizations because, well, debanking churches or people who support Donald Trump or things like that. And Kris Kobach, the Attorney General of Kansas, is now taking a look at what's going on here to determine, is what the Bank of America doing a violation of their state law? The idea of canceling bank accounts for these reasons. Now, here's my position. Bank of America is a private company. If they want to be idiots, right? If they want to be intolerant, bigoted jerks, they have the right to. The owners of that company have a right to. Also a good reason why, first of all, maybe public entities should not be banking with them, but it's just another reason why I refuse to do business with Bank of America, because I don't trust them. I'm not surprised that they'd be debanking based on how they've treated me in decades past. But that reminds me of something else as well. You see, why would I want to do business with a company that hates me, that hates what I believe, that hates what I stand for? Why would I want to give them my money and make money off of me? That's the decision we have to decide. Why do we keep supplying, buying from companies that are antithetical to what we say and what we believe? See, there's a reason why I switched to Patriot Mobile a while back, because Patriot Mobile is our only Christian conservative wireless provider. My previous provider, I kept seeing reports of them doing things that I find unconscionable. Why would I continue to give them money? I can give my money to Patriot Mobile. They've got great coverage nationwide, 4G and 5G. They're on all the same networks and carriers as the major carriers. They work great, and their 100% US-based support, customer support, are wonderful to deal with. You know, it's never fun dealing with customer support, but they're great to deal with. So stop giving your money to companies that don't like your rights. Give to ones that share your values, that support organizations like that protect your religious freedoms, your constitutional rights, places like the Constitution Study, first responders, and others. In fact, if you switch to Patriot Mobile now, you can get free activation if you use the code CONSTITUTION when you check out. Go to patriotmobile.com/constitution, find a plan that works for you, see the groups and companies that Patriot Mobile supports. Then when you pick your plan, be sure to use that code CONSTITUTION at checkout in order to get free activation.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution Study, and we're looking at our mistakes and asking, are we going to repeat this again? Now, we've talked a bit about the election and about demonstrations. Here's a topic that's been quite on everybody's mind, and that is illegal aliens and dealing with illegal aliens. Now, Massachusetts is one of those states that said, you know what? We're going to be sanctuary city. We're going to be sanctuary state. Yes, yay. Come, illegal immigrants. And what's interesting is this polled apparently fairly well, not all that long ago, among the citizens of Massachusetts. However, that seems to be changing. See, according to an emergency declaration from Governor Healey, Massachusetts has been paying, the Massachusetts taxpayer has been paying $45 million a month to house illegal immigrants. Now, I want to point out that part of the reason why Massachusetts taxpayers are paying $45 million a month to house illegal immigrants is because they've decided they're not going to do anything to get rid of people who are here illegally. They're not going to cooperate with Borders and Customs or with ICE. They've said, come on in, we'll protect you, be my guest, we'll provide you food, we'll provide you shelter, you know, kind of like what New York City did, New York State did. And now that they've found out the truth, they're getting bit in the backside. Now, this emergency declaration was sent to DHS Secretary Mayorkas, and Massachusetts is asking for another $500 million from the federal government to fix their mistake. Now, again, I'm not saying that all the illegal immigrants are there because of Massachusetts policy, but a significant number are. You decided to accept these. You decided. Now, remember, immigration is not a power delegated to the United States. So Massachusetts could easily deport these people. They have the legal authority to deport them. They don't even have to wait for the federal government. They can deport them themselves. They chose not to. And a while back, they actually did a poll among about, I think it was 1,000 people in Massachusetts. And they found that back in October of last year, they found that 55% supported the Massachusetts policy regarding illegal aliens. That number's down to, I think it's 45%. That's not a good, but this is Massachusetts made a decision. And now they're having to deal with the consequences. Of course, the first thing they do is reach out to the federal government saying, you pay for our mistakes, which means they're asking the American taxpayer to pay for their mistakes. But there's another twist to this that it was kind of a drop in this article I found at the Epoch Times. See, like a lot of places, or I should say I've read a lot out of New York City, Massachusetts is trying to find places to house these illegal aliens. One of the ones they've chosen is called, I think, a soldier's house, soldier's home. Now, this is a facility that was set up to allow U.S. veterans to have a place to live. Think about it this way. The system is, if you're a U.S. veteran you're homeless, I guess, you can stay in soldier's house. If you make at least $300 a month, you pay, I think it's $30, to stay in soldier's house. And now Governor Healey is talking about taking veterans out and putting illegal immigrants in. What does that say about Ms. Healey? And about the government and, by extension, the people of the state of Massachusetts? They're more worried about illegal immigrants than they are men and women who have served their country. Doesn't really surprise me, but this is where we're at. And I guess the question is, haven't we learned this lesson before? Does anybody remember the aftermath of Vietnam? When we treated our veterans so poorly, have we not learned? Have we not learned that rewarding people for breaking the law leads to more breaking of law? That inviting people who come to this country illegally invites more people to come to this country illegally? And as we go back to the beginning of the program, many of these are getting flyers saying, hey, don't forget, vote Biden in November, even though they're not legally allowed to. We keep doing the same things over and over and over again. And people get, well, this time it will be different. No, it won't be different. And the very idea that you think it'll be different kind of proves that you're insane. Then I guess we live in crazy times. Because, yeah, Massachusetts is doubling down on housing illegal aliens rather than dealing with the illegal part of it. And California, oh, California, boy. So California has a serious problem. I mean, they have several. One of which is they are running a rather large deficit. Apparently, the state of California borrowed $21 billion from the federal government to deal with their unemployment insurance. So, you know, they have a plan. They have a thing where they collect fees from employees to fund their unemployment insurance. The problem is they've got a lot more unemployment than they have insurance to cover it. Now, California borrowed most of this money, well, in response to the plummeting employment, the surge in unemployment, that was caused in large part by their response to the COVID-19 scamdemic. You know, the idea of putting in places, prevent people from working, put businesses out of, you know, small business out of business. And guess what? That led to a lot more unemployment and they had to pay for it. Now, there's more, right? That's one place. Also look at it. We had the whole idea of freelancers are no longer freelancers. Or, you know, it's up to the state now, you know, people that you, that suits you, the gig economy. Now suddenly have to be treated as employees, which add cost to the company. So the companies hire fewer of these employees that they used to just use as gig workers. You know, we'll hire a few hours to do this or to do that. Then, of course, you have the $20 an hour minimum wage for fast food workers. You add all these, then you have the regulations about you're not going to be, they don't want you to be able to buy gasoline powered vehicles or appliances or outdoor equipment. And all of these things have been having a singularly unsurprising effect on the citizens of California. They've been leaving. More and more people are leaving California. More and more businesses are leaving California, right? Because they got tired of paying for people robbing them, right? Since California refuses to enforce laws against against theft, they can't deal with it. They're fed up. So California has made itself this economic dystopia. And now they're dealing with one of the perfectly anticipated problems. So California is expected to run a $73 billion budget deficit for 2024. And add to that the fact they're expecting $24 billion decrease in their tax revenues. And ladies and gentlemen, they're in an economic quandary. But rather than looking at what's going on and saying, listen, these policies are not working. They're driving people out of the state. They're putting people out of work. We're having to pick up the slack because we've created our laws that, you know, we'll take care of you no matter what. And they simply refuse to change. They simply refuse to deal with the reality of you can't do everything you want. It may sound great, but there are realities to life. And, you know, what's that line from Mythbusters?
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
Well, the sad part is you can't simply reject the idea of someone's got to pay for all this. And no matter how many times we've seen, again, California, Illinois, New York, states like this that put in these grandiose plans and then have to deal with the economic fallout, we never seem to learn. We never seem to learn that making it harder for people to work means fewer people work. Making it harder for businesses to do business means you have fewer businesses. Making it more expensive to hire employees means you get fewer employees. And we never learn. And if we learn, we just ignore reality. We reject reality and substitute our own. So where does that leave us? Again, are we going to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different outcome? Sadly, many Americans seem to be more willing to do that. How do I know that? Take a look at how many incumbents in Congress get reelected, in both the Senate and the House. See, we watch while people recommend, promote, vote for ridiculous policies, often insane policies, policies that flout the very idea of the Constitution, and they never suffer consequences for it. How can you tell when a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. What do we do when we find out that we realize that that we hire criminals, cheats, and thieves to represent us? We simply hire more of them? That we take those that are the best at lying and cheating and stealing, and we keep them around the longest? And then we wonder why we see criminal activity in Congress? Why the Constitution is trampled underfoot each and every day? Why people lie in Congress so obsessively? And oh boy, I mean, if there's one person that is the epitome of a lying politician, it's got to be Joe Biden. The whoppers we keep hearing, and we keep getting more of them. Why? Because there are people going to vote for Biden. Okay, you want to vote for Biden? Be my guest. But realize what you're saying is, I'm more worried about the fact that Donald Trump may get an office than that somebody who seems to lie about everything is the one making the decisions. By the way, I'm not a real fan of Donald Trump either, right? But I keep looking at this going, you've got Biden and you've got Trump. Are you really telling me those are the best two people to act as president in this country that we could find? We couldn't find anybody better than those two. I believe we have those two for a very simple reason. And I believe that goes all the way back to George Washington and his farewell address, where he said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural departed dissension, which in ages and countries has perpetrated the most hard enormities. It is itself a frightful despotism." But he went on, he said, "This leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual, and sooner or later the chief of some prevailing faction, whether more able or more fortunate than his counterparts, turns this disposition to the purpose of his own elevation on the ruin of public liberty." Ladies and gentlemen, that is where we stand. We've watched these machinations for decades. Our public liberty has been ruined. And we seem to be doing the same things about it over and over and over again. And by that, I don't simply mean politicians. I mean the American people. See, it is we the people that keep these other people in office. And until we learn to stop doing that same mistake of voting based on donkeys and elephants over and over and over again, we're going to continue with this demonstration, with this despotism, with the destruction of our rights and liberty. And ultimately, ladies and gentlemen, the fault is ours because the problem is ours. Now, one of the things I hope you do is you find you have questions about what we're talking about. I understand not everybody follows what I do. Not everybody quite understands what I'm talking about, which is why I'm always looking forward to when people ask questions. I want to do some more Q&A segments. We spend a whole segment just dealing with questions that you bring forth. I love doing so. Just go to constitutionstudy.com/questions and fill out a short form, and I'll do my best. I'll answer the question as best I can. I'll even, if you hit the check mark, I'll even answer the question in the radio program so that other people can listen as well, because I'm pretty sure what you're thinking, other people are thinking as well. And while you're at it, I hope you'll join us every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time for America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen to us via podcast. All the episodes go to podcast generally a day or two after they're heard on Talk Radio. Do me a favor, though. Subscribe to the show. Leave us ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the Constitution study as well. The more people that learn what the Constitution actually says, that spend time studying it and learning how to use it to protect their rights, their family's rights, their neighbor's rights, well, the better it is for all of us. That's what this Constitution study is about. It goes back to John Jay and his recommendation that we all read and study the Constitution. If by spreading this word, you can help spread that information, I appreciate that, and I thank you for it. But I also hope you'll come back and continue to join us here, whether it's live or whether it's on podcast, because it's this information and the sharing of this information that I believe is the only hope we have for a peaceful resolution of the problems that our country has. And that isn't worth a little bit of your time to share some of this information. I don't know what is. So I look forward to you joining me next time for the Constitution study, however you listen to it. And let us continue to do this work, share this information, so we can all share in the blessings of liberty.